podcast. Hosted by Gondi, chatting randomly to radio people about radio.
Dino.
Gondi.
I have to do a Dino-esque intro, which is just Dino.
It's like radio people. I love the impersonation of me. It just sounds like a loud drunk person. Yeah.
You've got your own style, that's for sure.
Yeah, I feel like it could have cost me many times, but like when I was doing days in Melbourne, I was doing some pretty weird stuff during the day, and luckily my bosses found it charming rather than a liability.
So they never tried to change it on you? They never went, hey, slick this thing up?
Like waves of like, you know how across the day the strategy always changes, so they go from like just talk over the intros or whatever. Like there was some of that, but not really like my sort of personality. They kind of just let me go, which is very nice. We're very lucky.
You're someone who you were at Nova in Perth and then you moved to Nova Melbourne, which is I've worked at both of those stations myself, but a lot of people seem to come and go from the station. You've just been at Nova 100 for a decent amount of time now in a whole bunch of different roles, but you've managed just to keep on moving up and up and up within that station. That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks, man. I love Melbourne. It's been 10 years now. And it feels odd to be like, I've been with Nova since like 2008. It's like 12 years of my life. It's crazy.
People bounce around, you know. I've worked at Nova, SCA. I've never worked at ARN, but I've moved around a fair bit. But you're one of the rare cases where you just at Nova 100. You obviously love it there. They love you there. The only reason I highlight it is that it's just so rare. I think it's great, but it's just so rare.
Yeah, man, I feel lucky as hell. Like I started in at Red FM in WA. So, but even then I wasn't out in the sticks. The station was in Perth in the CBD. So like, I haven't really done much like any provincial time living wise or any of that. I just feel lucky.
So did you have a job when you went from Nova Perth to Nova Melbourne? Were you moving for a job or you just thought I'm going to give Melbourne a crack?
Yeah. At the time, Mike Cass was the PD then. And I went from days in Melbourne to national late nights for like, I think it was 2 years. And at the time, Sarah Fayor was producing me, who's a dear, dear radio mate, who's now working for Howard Stern.
Like, yeah, I know.
Cool thing. And I'm just so happy for her. She's so perfect. Her personality, because I'm a big Stern fan, I listen a lot. I just know that she would fit in that environment so well, especially working in Triple M and that kind of masculine, that blokey stuff.
Yeah, she gave up a dream gig too, right? So she was doing the footy boundary stuff, which she was loving, and then she thought, I'm going to give New York City a crack because it was something she always wanted to do. And she was there for a good, I don't know, I think maybe a year or two before she really started to crack anything there. And then the Howard Stern stuff came along, and I'm mates with her as well, but have you tried to get any Howard Stern information out of her? It's impossible.
Well, our team went to, and again, just so lucky, our whole show went to New York in November before all this stuff kicked off. So like pretty much one of the last months you could ever go to New York in recent times. And the whole team went. So I caught up with Sarah and she gave me a little bit like it's just what you'd think really. Like they've got a huge team. I know that. Like the back team is humongous. Oh, and they went to, Howard went to, I'm sure she wouldn't mind me telling me this is nothing too bad. Howard rarely does the West Coast in terms of TV appearances and stuff.
Yeah.
And when he did do Ellen and that last year, the whole team went and it just sounded like the most unbelievable trip in terms of facilities and resources. And it's just that next level, hey Gondi, of the Howard Stern show, like infinite resources.
Yeah, well, I've been into the Sirius radio station there in New York and the Howard side of it, it's completely his own side. You don't even get a chance to go in there. I did a tour of the rest of it and you can see where Sway does his radio show and all these other shows, but Howard Stern is just completely blocked off and you're not allowed in there unless you're a staff member. So imagine what it would have been like for Sarah when she got the job and the first time you get to walk in there and you see the iconic studio and, mate, it'd be epic. It'd be so good.
Yeah, us radio nerds, it would be truly breathtaking.
Yeah, I asked her to be on the podcast, but she said there's not a lot she can really say.
Yeah, right, okay. Yeah, right. Maybe, hopefully eventually, because she'd be an amazing guest. She'd have heaps.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was producing me on late nights, and then I got moved to days in Melbourne, and then I think another station tried to get us. And that was around the time the breakfast show changed. So I went into the anchor role.
So you were pretty close. Were you considering other roles?
I don't think so. Nah. The team and the company that were after me, it felt like they just wanted a, just kind of like a straight anchor. And I don't think I would have gone well there. These guys have, sort of embraced me and let me be a shithead, and it's been nice.
Yeah, so you're on the, for anyone that doesn't know, Chrissy, Sam and Brownie show, Nova 100 in Melbourne. I work with Brownie at Nova in Brisbane, and you and I are big yes. AFL fans, both West Coast Eagles fans, huge, but also big just AFL fans in general, and Brownie's as big as they get. And I remember when I was working the Sunday show with Brownie, I think you and I chatted and you were just like, oh, what's Brownie like, you know, because you kind of want to know. I mean, it'd be weird for you to think of that now because you spent so much time with him. Brownie's up there with Wayne Carey, and as far as centre-half forwards go, he'd almost be top three in the history of AFL. And for us AFL fans, like that's huge.
It's so huge. And yeah, for, as you said, as footy fans, and now to have him like as feel like a family member and just someone you can hang shit on. It's quite surreal, actually.
It's weird, isn't it? Like, I remember when I was in Brisbane, we went out one night as a team and whatever, and he just stayed at my house after that night. And, you know, you grow up watching these people, and then I guess that is one of the beauties of our industry is that you get to work with them as well. And you do quickly become just, I could text Brownie now, and, you know, you become mates because you spend so much time together in a intimate, you know, it's early in the morning. You're in that room together for so many hours of the day that you just instantly sort of build that connection, I guess.
Yeah. And like, this is 5 years now. So like times 3 hours a day in one room times, you know, 5 years, you got this like language that you don't have with anyone else. It's really cool. And like our team, every chance we get, we have long lunches and see each other quite a bit. So it's genuinely awesome. It's wicked.
Yeah. 5 years. I mean, it still feels relatively new for some reason. I don't know why it feels new, but when you say 5 years, it's like, man, that's a decent amount of time now.
Yeah. Especially in Melbourne, hey, cause the turnover of shows in the last decade has been, it's been really big. So 5 years feels like 10, but I got that same feeling as well. It doesn't feel like 5 years. It still feels like we're pretty new, but it's so good. It's such a great job.
And what about the other guys on the team? So we touched on Brownie there, but Sam Pang and Chrissy Swan, before working with those guys, did you know much about them?
Yeah, I did. I knew about Pangy because my sister had a mad crush on him when he wasn't famous.
Is that a weird crush or what?
I met him through Ed Cavalier when we didn't work with each other. And the first thing I said to him was, oh, my sister wants to hook up with you. Well, who says that to someone? What an idiot.
But how did she know who he was if he wasn't famous? How did that?
Like he was still in Eurovision. And like, when I say not famous, not the
commercially sort of
like he was doing the podcast. Like he was still Sam Pang. But like, the first time I met him, I tried to hook him up with my sister and got a photo, and we still got that photo and laugh about it. It's from like 2011 or something.
What's the age gap? Is there much of an age gap?
Me and Pangy, or my sister and Pangy?
Yeah, your sister and Pangy.
Nah, they'd be like 5 years. Oh, Pang's an old man. Yeah. He's old.
How old's your sister?
40.
Okay. Yeah, right.
But hey, Pang's got a kid and a partner. This is.
Well, I don't know. This is back in the day. This is back in the day. Yeah. Okay. Well, because Pangy, he doesn't really talk much about, from the bits that I hear on the show, he doesn't talk all that much about his private life, really, does he?
Yeah. And that's a decision he's always made. And like Swanee's the opposite. A lot of her content is like great stories from home. So it's just, it kind of works like that. Brownie's a big one of offering up personal stuff. But I think I can really understand Pangy's point of view. He just gets to come in and have like this bit of mystique and concentrate on his bits and stuff. And he's been the best to work with in terms of like writing together. We'll write stuff and make stuff together. And that's a thrill. It's and little like writing anything. It's just about rewrites and rewrites and just kind of bonding over that process is wicked. Like the nerd in me. And Tony Martin as well, because we have him on every week since we started. Learning off Tony about just writing bits. And I can see the obsession of making content in those two, and Brownie as well. Brownie's a crazy writer. He'll love writing gags and doing bits. And Swanee's her skill is just being insanely off the cuff and spontaneous. So between the three of them, or four of us, because I do a fair bit of content on the show, it's just a good fit, man. And we all sickeningly love each other. I know. This is true.
That must be Pangy rubbing off onto Brownie, because I don't remember him writing jokes when we did that Sunday show together. Really? Nah, not at all.
Man, you can see it in him. He's hilarious and such a meticulous note taker. And everyone assumes all footballers are a stereotype, but he's an avid reader and writer, and he can tell he loves making stuff and the team environment. And when something works on air, it's you can just see him. I'm loving it. It's wicked.
And Pangy still comes in at 7.
Yeah. But that's good. Like, because it feels like we get a new wave after an hour. So Swanee, Brown, and I will get on and we'll quite loose in that first hour. And then it feels like we get a shot of Red Bull when Pangy comes in. So it kind of makes the show, I think the show's better for it.
And are you doing, you're doing something prior to the show, aren't you? 5 to 6 or something pre-show? Is that live?
Yeah. Yeah, well, no, we do. So normally under these weird hours right now, Jack, our producer, and I are doing a full hour from 6 to 7. But normally we're on from Jack and I from live 5:30 to 6.
Right.
And 5 to 5:30s, we replay a couple of bits and then we're live on from 5:30.
And you guys get to do a bit of content before 6?
Yeah, a bit of content. And I kind of took this off the Stern model as well, just straight up lifted it, how they've got a show about the Stern show.
Yeah.
So we can be a little bit indulgent because we've been on air for 5 years. So we'll just take questions about the show and do a bit of lift the curtain stuff and just answer any questions and do some in stuff without feeling guilty about it, you know?
Yeah. And so what about, because you do a fair bit on the show and I think you slot well into that show, and still the silent anchor role, like, you know what I mean? It's still Chrissy, Sam, and Brownie. Has there ever been discussion of Chrissy, Sam, Brownie and Dino or anything like that? I know sort of Byron got in there with the Melbourne show with Fifi and Fev, and I thought, oh, you know, with the amount that you do, then surely there's an opportunity there for that to happen, or you just don't really care?
I personally don't care, but I love the fact that a lot of people ask, radio people ask, means that I'm having an impact in making good stuff, so that's kind of just nice.
Would it be nice, though, if they said, hey, Dino, we're going to throw your name in there? You can be honest. I'd be all about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely be honest. Like, under this configuration, I truly don't see the point. Like, it's just working well. I'm not someone that needs their ego stroked. I just have a passion to make stuff and constantly doing better and better stuff. So wherever that leads is great. But honestly, it's the truth when I say, man, this is wicked how it is. Why fuck around with it?
Well, like, swear? Yeah, go for it, mate. It doesn't matter. Yeah, you can swear. I think it's one of those things as well with, you know, because the show obviously started in its format of Chrissy, Sam, and Brownie, and you've been on air for 5 years. It would be weird to sort of change it now. It was like when Hughesy and Kate were on, and then even when Ed Cavalli came in, it was still Hughesy and Kate, but Ed was there because it's just that's just the branding. So it's just sort of stays that way. But
it gives me license to be a bit of a cowboy and just do some random stuff without any sort of pressure, you know?
Yeah. But you've also done a few spin-off things as well, like that Dino's Footy Show. I bloody love that. How good was that?
Yeah, thanks, man. That went great. We got like a lot of our hits were on Facebook. I made it for Instagram, but all of our clicks were on mostly on Facebook. But collectively over the season, we got a really good amount of views, enough to warrant the resources and money spent and time. Like, it was cool. And the guests, and I love Franco Cozzo with all my heart. So the fact that you just got complete creative control to make a batshit footy show influenced by comedy that I like, it was just wicked.
How did you get people on board? Because the concept of it, like, you've obviously written something up and on paper, I mean, watching it, I thought on paper that would look weird as shit. And then I'm thinking, how do you get sort of the football players in to be a part of it? Because a lot of the time they're pretty protective of their own image. But I saw you had Jack Riewoldt, who's pretty loose. He would have been up for it. But was anyone hard to sort of get in on the concept?
No, like, anyone that came in to film it knew that it was nuts and trusted me to, like, literally, Gondi, I'd write the script. As you said, it didn't make sense to anyone else but me on my Word document, the official script. And they kind of just trusted me. So I'd say, like, oh, can you say this? Because Franco wasn't there during any of them. Like, Kotso's sessions were in hour blocks. He'd come in and I'd have to write it all ahead of time.
It's like he's Madonna. So, it's like a megastar. You had to come in a certain amount of time.
Hey, and you should see the people light up in the office. It was like, we have heaps of famous people coming to the station, but Kotso, people who just love him in Melbourne because he's just the man.
So he's a big Melbourne character, is he?
Yeah. So I don't know, for WA, remember the WA salvage guy, Luigi?
Yes.
It's kind of that level, or just like a real cult icon, in particular the Western Suburbs, Footscray.
Like Con the Fruiterer kind of vibes?
Yeah. Like that vibe, that level of fame. Like,
but he's not a character, right? That's him. That's his real person. Yeah.
It's absolutely him. And Zito, my mate who films and we edit together, he does all the editing. I just sit there and annoy him. He speaks Italian, so Kotso struggles with a lot of the sentences we'd feed him. So Andy was there to help out with that. So and we all had this really great relationship. But yeah, so I'd get like, trying to think of like one of the straightest people we had in that still were just up to play. Like Kuda came in and he's generally like a pretty just straight down the line guy, but he just trusted us to do weird stuff. And I think it was just trust and respect, Gondi. Like, if people will think you're not going to make them look like a dick, or your intentions are just to make something funny without putting anyone down in particular, you can get trust out of people. And that's how we did it, really.
It's always hard when it's the first one, though, because it's a brand new idea and you're trying to get them on board. But once you've got a few out there, like once you had a few and they were doing really well, it's then easy to go, hey, this is it. You're going to have a look at it. So it's more those early stages.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, I can't believe that Hamish did one, and it's my favorite ever episode. And obviously, man, as radio dorks, we love Hamish. Like, he's just the funniest, most brilliant brain. And he came in and did it. And the fact that he wanted to meant a lot. It meant that we'd made something cool. And yeah, that was
so. What he said, he had heard of it, and he said, "I want to be on. I'd love to do one of these Dino's footy shows."
Yeah,
good.
He watched it. Yeah, it was wicked, man. And then he just nailed it. It's my favorite episode. If people can be asked looking it up, there's a shark attack in it, and it's really good.
Did he have any input in it, or had you had the script already written out, or did he make a few changes?
I had the script written out, but he just ad-libbed brilliant Hamish stuff, and we obviously kept it. Is the best.
I know the footy season's on hold at the moment, but is that show on hold as well, or did it run its course, or were you going to bring it back this season?
Well, I was going to do four bigger episodes because I was doing it for Fox Footy as well, for this up the gut show on Fox Footy, which got the ass. But because we're doing it for another network as well, it means we had to pump out heaps.
Right.
But so this year I wanted to do four, one at the quarter time of the season, half time, and so on. But it's impossible now because Kotso's an older guy. We just can't mess around.
And it needed Kotso.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it that Kotso. It tickles me to no end. I just love the guy. It's wicked.
So what, he's actually at a point in his age where he just can't come in, and because he looks good in the videos, he doesn't look like he's...
Well, I'm talking COVID-wise.
Oh, of course. Yes.
Yeah.
For a second as we were having this conversation, I completely forgot we were in the middle of that bloody pandemic. Yeah, of course. He can't come in at all until this is all clear.
No.
So it's not even worth doing.
And to try and record it remotely would just be impossible. So we'll just hold it. And then he's so lovely. I saw him before Christmas to go take him some Chrissy present, and he gave me a cake. Oh, man, love the guy. And he was definitely down for this year. So just hope we can do it in the future. Just for pure passion and fun, it's a great thing to make. And Tony Martin, who's another absolute hero of mine, he again, the fact that he likes Dino's Footy Show, A, blows my mind, but also he's in charge of entering stuff into IMDb. So he's itemized every episode and like credited all this team and the guests. So it's just wicked, man. I just love doing it.
Tell me more about that. So what do you mean? So Tony Martin puts stuff into IMDb, not what, of his own accord, or that's one of his gigs, or what is that?
Yeah, because he's one of the sort of admin for Australia, like one of the official IMDb guys.
Seriously?
Yeah,
I wouldn't have even thought of that.
Well, Tone loves, he's the biggest fan of film, so it doesn't surprise me whatsoever. But on IMDb, all the episodes are listed, and it just makes it official and awesome. Like something that I would never do because I'm very, I'm very bad. I don't think I'm dyslexic or anything, but I've never been one to keep records of anything, or I have an idea and it's all just a mess.
Mate, that's why we do radio, because there's very minimal admin, unless you're a producer and they've got to do all, you know, and there's definitely departments of the industry. But for the on-air stuff that we do, the minimal admin is one of the top things that I love the job.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like my brain isn't capable of it.
Yes,
you know?
It hurts the...
I've tried.
Yeah, the second you sit down, you're like, nah, this isn't for me.
Can't do it.
Nah.
Can't do it. I'm 3 years behind on my tax. Oh, well, geez.
How'd you go?
Gotta get to that.
How'd you go at school?
Fine. I went to uni for a year, so I got enough grades to go study... it wasn't broadcasting because I got rid of that year. Communications. Fine. Like I was very good in English and writing and the art side, but maths, not crash art.
Yeah, but you weren't held back. You weren't held back any years in WA.
No, yes. That's why I kind of regret using the word dyslexic or anything like that, but it's the only word that could come to mind to describe the fact that I'm just not very good with records and just itemizing things and stuff like that. I just don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I guess a lot of people are that.
Oh, absolutely. I was going to ask you about that Up the Guts footy show. You did mention it there, and I thought it was Dino's footy show that sort of got you on that show, but were you doing it? So Fox Footy had the show and then they came to you for Dino's footy show, or what was the timeline on that?
Dino's footy show got me on that.
Right.
They saw it and loved it, which is sick. But then like my role at the last minute, my sort of role, changed to being on the set, but it just wasn't that enjoyable experience. Me and Loz, I love working with Mooney, but I don't know, just didn't feel like, because Fox Footy is a pretty straight network, it probably wasn't the best medium to start a comedy show for the first time on TV.
I was pumped for you, man, because I love Fox Footy. I watch it more than pretty much any other channel, to be honest. And then when I saw you had a show on there with Lawrence Mooney, I thought, oh, mate, this is sick. I was so pumped.
Yeah.
And not that, no shame in it not being on anymore, but I was just pumped that you were on the show. Like you were sitting right next to Lawrence Mooney, and I could tell in the first episode or so you were trying to find your feet, as anybody would. I mean, it must have been daunting for your first episode to be, because with Dino's footy show, you've written it, you've shot down, you've sat down, you know, you've shot it. Whereas it's a completely different experience when you're on the set and it's live and there's all these moving pieces, right?
Yeah, the only thing I struggled with was knowing at what level to butt in and be myself. And in hindsight, I would have done it more. But, like, there's no way of knowing this, and you've just got to learn the hard way and really value having something that under my belt, because the next time I've learned a lot. And
was there a buzz? Were you buzzing?
Yeah, man, it's wicked. It's so fun. I love Mooney.
Yeah.
He's a really good – he's good mates with Pangy too, so – it was so fun.
How does it up
on a Friday night, watching footy and then doing a live show. It was really cool.
And getting paid.
Yeah.
How good's that? And so how does it play out, Dino, when they say, look, the show's not working? Like what happens there?
Yeah, it's pretty much that simple. Like they say they made changes and then just pulled the pin. But I've learnt off my mates here, like Swanee and Tony Martin, and that TV is very different to radio in that you just, if a job comes, you do it and do it to your best, but do not expect any longevity. You just give it a crack and take the next one. And if you want to keep doing it, just keep trying.
What did Pangy have to say about it? I mean, they kill it on the front bar. That's probably the top footy show going around these days. So what was his take on the whole thing for you? Was he pumped for you?
Yeah, absolutely. And he's like, you've got to do these things. You've got to get one away and learn and crash and burn sometimes and just do it, because it's the only way to get experience with your first TV gig. So
do you see another opportunity? Do you see another opportunity potentially down the track, whether it be on 7, 10, you know, I used to love Before the Game. How good was Before the Game?
Yeah, it was rad.
You'd be awesome on that show.
Yeah, I'd definitely go into another TV project, but I'd have more, I wouldn't just say yes straight away. I mean, I was so excited to do it the first time. I'd need a bit more control over my role and direction and stuff like that. But yeah, definitely, man. If I'm excited about the prospect of whatever a TV job is, I'd definitely do it. Like, just, you got to really be sure that you're doing it not because you want to be on telly, but because you want to make something that you're proud of as hell.
Yeah, but when the show comes along, you're like, fuck yeah, I'll do that. Fox Footy up the guts, Lawrence Mooney, yeah, get me on, I'm on. Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah,
You are right, though. I did watch the episode going, get in there, Dino. Like, get in there some more. Because you were like, well, is Lawrence jumping in or what's happening here? And I was like,
yeah, Dino. The real dynamic is, like, I was off to the side and then Laws had to keep clamming on with the seg. So how much, it's hard to chip in. But, you know, if I did it again, I'd chip in more.
Yeah.
Shit happens.
Yeah. And so tell me, you guys had a pretty, I think they've put the ratings on hold at the moment, but you guys finished last year number one, right?
Yeah, that was cool. It's always good to get that last book because you're number one for like 3 months until the first.
Yeah. And what do you take on the survey being on hold at the moment? Good for you guys. You get to hold that number one just that little bit longer.
No, we're narrowly, we're not number one anymore.
Oh, because they've had one this year. Book. They've had one this year, haven't they?
Yeah. Yeah, so I think we're second. But again, Gorn, like, our shows never change with the ratings or anything, and management have been we've been very lucky that they haven't stuff with it. Because if anyone air-checked our show, they'd be like, what the fuck is this? They just did 7 minutes talking about a Sylvester Stallone film that no one's ever seen. Like, it's very hard to... It would be hard to manage, and you'd pull your hair out as a program director.
So what, they give you free rein, do they? They just say, we love what you're doing. We love the weirdness. We love the looseness. Just keep doing that.
Well, I just think from the way I see it, they can see effort from everyone and a plan. We've got a plan. And
do you know what it is? What is it?
Well, no, we know how to make the content we make.
Yep.
And we're constantly doing it. We're never scratching our head for ideas. And so there's never been a need to go for anyone to step in and go, all right, we need to talk about this subject more because this demographic, blah, 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 blah. Like, it's batshit. If you listen to our show and wrote down what we do on any given day, it's nuts. In commercial radio, in breakfast commercial radio.
Yeah, but see, I like that. They're the shows that I tend to like, you know, when I hear things like, oh, you know, one thought per break or 2 to 3 minutes max. And I think, are the listeners that dumb that they can't follow a conversation that maybe goes in a different direction or what? I mean, I never listen and go, oh shit, they're off topic. Oh, I can't follow this anymore. I'm out.
Donnie, I've never known any listener to think like that. So to me, that's always been insane. And even when I was a jock on my own during the day, I never wanted to sound like, coming up, blah, 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 hit the post, bang. Like, I'd rather connect and not be indulgent, but just offer something rather than sound like what a PD in their head thinks a daytime announcer should sound like. So I think it's a similar principle for our show. Like, what are people going to listen to if we're not talking? Sweepers and ads? Like, just keep talking.
Yeah.
And like, the chaos and the love, the support, or the not support when we stacks on each other. That's what people are listening for. And I keep going back to Howard Stern, but if you turned him on for the first time, you're like, do these people know they're on air? It's just existing on the radio.
But that's the best way to be, don't you think? But that's hard. It's also hard to get to, like, being natural and yourself on the air. It's harder than it looks for a lot of people.
Absolutely.
You know,
and it takes years, in my opinion, to be truly yourself. And even then there's maybe 10 or 15% of something in your brain governing a thought or whatever.
Yeah.
But it takes years, right, man? Like, in our early 20s, we all wanted to do what we're saying now, but at that time we physically didn't have the ability.
No. And you listen back to some of those and you think, oh man, oh, if you listen back to any of your old demos and any of your old breaks and stuff.
By the way, I'm glad I don't, like, you know what I was saying about not keeping records. I'm just glad I don't have any of the demons.
Just churn and burn and let it go and move on to the next thing. So what's the go? You guys have done 5 years. Do you see this show being Chrissy, Sam and Brownie / Dino for, you know, years to come, or what happens?
My hope is that as long as everyone's happy and they want to do it, we'll keep on doing it. That's really as easy it comes down to, is everyone making sure everyone's happy and still enjoying it. And we really are. So it's generally year by year. And mate, it's just Greg, if it changes, it changes. And under no illusions that they could change, get rid of everyone at one time or whatever, but you just can't worry about that, Gondi. Like, you just got to make stuff that you love, have a really good time, and just be proud of. We never walk away from a show going, "Ugh, oh, that was terrible," ever. And I think not having heaps of air checks is part of mental health.
Yeah. As every single radio person just nods their head listening to this, agreeing that would be, you know, that would be.
Who wants to listen to a talk break and pick it apart, for fuck's sake? And who does it serve?
Well, see,
take the person's general vibe and job and look at that. Don't sit them down and fucking play a break and go, "What do you think about that?"
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I bet you my next gig will be air checks now I've said all this.
Well, I've steered away from sitting down and listening to breaks for a while now, and it's more just sort of like, you know, if you're listening, just tell me what you think we should change a little bit, or, you know, that was good and maybe fix this or whatever it might be. But I was there. Do I really need to sit down and listen to it word for word? Just give me the little bits of feedback that I need and I'll implement them. Yeah. But yeah, that it is painful listening back to the audio with a room full of people.
Yeah. And I really don't think it serves a purpose at all. At all.
Have they ever tried to make, was it even in the early days when the show was new on air?
No. Early, they would try and massage the form guide and make stuff a bit shorter, but no, pretty soon after we started, they kind of just let us go. And again, that's not us just going, "Oh, we're cowboys, we can do whatever we want." It's because we've got a plan. Everyone's got their own thing.
Yeah.
And it seems to work. And I love that I'm a bit younger than everyone. I mean, Brownie's 39, I'm 34. So we're closest in age, but his vibe is not 39. He feels like he's,
mate, he's
a 30, general in an army.
Yeah, he's 39 going on 50 for sure. Has been for ages. Like, even when you see footage of him back when he was like 18 playing for the Lions, it's like, that dude looks like he's 30.
Yeah, yeah. His spirit is not 39.
Nah.
And then so Pangy and Swanee's, I think their birthday is on the same day, which is nuts.
Yeah.
And my birthday is the same day as Swanee's partners. So like, there's all these weird things that feels like this combination of people is just a strike of luck. But
and what about the team around? What about the team around you guys as well? Like all the producers
I was just gonna say, because like I'm roughly a decade younger than Pangy and Swan, so there's that point of difference for what I have to offer. And then the 10 years below me is our producer Jack, who's doing a lot of stuff on air with me, and I love it because he's that younger voice. Like, I don't know what the fuck TikTok is, and that's something that's something he's got all.
Mate, you'd kill it on TikTok. You'd be great on TikTok.
Oh, I'll give it a go.
Mate, you will.
I've got a lot of time in my hand.
Mate, TikTok is made for you, Dino, because it's really weird. Yeah, man. Like, don't forget all the girls dancing on it and all that bullshit. For the weird creative videos, mate, it is you would kill it. You would absolutely kill it.
All right. Over all this time at home, I might just have a little dick around with it and see if I can do some weird things. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
But Jack Charles started as a Casanova 5 years ago, and he was in a giant iPhone suit giving out stickers at shopping centers. And then he slowly, because he would, do you find that anyone that works in radio and goes, "Oh, can you get me in the back door or whatever? I'd be good at radio, blah, blah, blah." My thing is, they've got to have some evidence that they've tried. They've gone to a community station or the passion's there. No one can, you can't come up to someone and say, "Oh, I think I'd be great. Can I make the coffees? I'll make the coffees. Come on, just let us in." All that bullshit.
Yeah.
Jackie had been at a community station and he's got a really good brain for radio. So then he got on the assistant producing team, and then Liz went, our initial producer, our lovely friend Liz, he went and went on maternity leave. And then Jackie stood up to the EP role. And then since he's just stayed, and he's got this dual role that he's on air as well, and it's just a great opportunity for him to get on air, and because I think he's a broadcaster at heart rather than a producer, and he'd definitely admit that. So it's just great that we've got this team. You can chuck anyone on air. And again, this is what my favorite shows in the world do. It's I'd rather listen to a trivial problem that our audio guy Mount had on the weekend because he gets angry about things than interviewing a block contestant. To me, that's better content, and everyone's more invested than a phone chat about a fucking bathroom renovation. People that love your show, they just love it.
I love the trivial, like nothing stuff that you make big, you know? I love it all, just the really, yeah. just something basic that you blow up or you make bigger than it needs to be. So I'm right there with you.
Yeah. That's how we make content, and it's so fun, Gordy.
And so tell me, because we've known each other for a long time now. How long do you reckon we've known each other for now?
I reckon 15 years.
15 years. How's that?
Look at you. You're killing it. I'm so jealous of where you're living your life. I'm looking behind you and it looks like Joe Exotic's backyard.
Yeah, oh. It's good. I've moved around a lot more than you though. You've managed to go from Nova Perth to Nova Melbourne and stay there, but I wouldn't change it, man. I've loved all the different experiences and all the different shows and roles, and mate, I've been lucky. I've enjoyed every single element of everything I've done to this point, and there's not been one thing that I hated or didn't want to do. So, you know, you and I are definitely the lucky ones. But what I was going to ask you is, knowing you for that long and thinking back to, you know, when you were the dude coming out of, even before Nova Perth, you know, you were working, what was the station?
Red FM.
Yeah, that's it. Red FM in WA. To look where you are now, is it just well beyond anything that you thought you would achieve when you were starting out?
Without question, yes. I always had a burning desire and always this hope and this vague plan, but it's nuts, right?
Because when you think of all the different ways it could go, you know, for so many different people in this industry, that so many things come and go, and for you to have an established career in Melbourne, working on a successful show with great people, like, mate, it's the dream.
Mate, it's not lost on me every day how lucky I am. And if I was ever complacent, I'd be so disappointed with myself, because just lucky as hell. As you said, anything could have been different at any point. And this is just how it kind of played out. So, man, I just feel lucky as fuck.
And only the greats have been in that role, you know, Tim Blackwell, Ed Cavalli, Dan Anstey, me, and you.
Yes. The big five.
The big five. Oh, man, it's good to have you on. Man. I've been wanting to get you on this podcast for ages now, so thanks for giving up a bit of time pre-Easter weekend, and just bloody good to chat to you, mate.
Absolute pleasure, brother, and I love watching all your content pop up, you and Ash and stuff. You guys are killing it. It's amazing to see. You've always had a more than normal work ethic than most radio people, man.
I appreciate that, Dino. Thank you, mate, and hopefully...
Love you.
Oh, bloody, I just love you too. You know, it was great when we worked together, but you realize as time goes on how even rare that is, you know. It'd be great to be working for the same company in the same building even again, but
absolutely.
Who knows what happens. But great to catch up with you. Thanks, man.
Right on, Gordy. Go Eagles. I love Nick Nat.
Yes. Tim Kelly.
Woo! The Radio Randomly Podcast. Hosted by Gordy, chatting randomly to radio people about radio.